McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1-800-50-1111. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Don't get me wrong, but this next topic, by the way, is kind of complicated in a sense. When I say it's complicated, it's a bit deep, isn't it? And I do want to put out a warning. If people are of a sensitive nature when it comes to disability, when it comes to imperfections in this world, when it comes to biological imperfections, you know, I don't want you to take offence. So I am warning you now, and I'm giving you plenty of warning in relation to what we're going to be discussing. But there was a story in the paper yesterday about a woman who had her dog cloned. She said that the only thing that's stopping her doing it was the cost. Now, pet cloning is banned under EU regulations, and that extends to the UK, by the way. But there is a UK company that sends about 1,000 animals to Texas each year to be reproduced at a cost of €44,000. Now, the woman in the articles had her sausage dog, Winnie, cloned in South Korea after winning a competition at a cost of €71,000. Rebecca Byrne's dog, Winnie, died when she was hit by a car in 2019, but the cloned mini Winnie, how could you even let that? It's hard to say that with a straight face. Mini Winnie is the clone, was an exact replica of the original dog. And Susan said it was the best thing she ever did and would happily do it again if she had the money. Now, cloning, by the way, is illegal. Human cloning is illegal. Can they do it? Yes, they can. Do we have the technology to do it? Yes, we do. But it's considered to be unethical and it's illegal. But it reminded me of a thing called CRISPR many years ago. We discussed it on the air going back about 10 years ago. And it spells, if you want to look it up, C-R-I-S-P-R, no E, CRISPR, which is cluster, regularly, interspaced, palindromic, repeats, which was developed to modify DNA. It was used to treat people originally with conditions like blindness. So curing a patient was great. But it was also called into question when modifications to sperm, eggs and embryos could be passed to future generations and raise the stakes for any mistakes made along the way. So, I don't think the system is infallible in any way. I've read conflicting information in relation to CRISPR. But the idea of genetic engineering is what CRISPR is, which is essentially looking into the egg, in simple man's terms, looking at the strands of DNA and making sure there is no anomalies, disabilities, imperfections, and just removing them. And a lot of people immediately, when you start talking about stuff like that, think about World War II and Hitler and what they called the Aryan race, this kind of perfect human being. And when we discussed it the last time, there was an argument by people that, yeah, okay, what this would do would eradicate people born with disabilities. Now, it wouldn't eradicate people with disabilities because, unfortunately, people have accidents throughout their lives and lose limbs or, you know, end up in wheelchairs or whatever it happens to be. But it would eradicate disability at birth because, essentially, you would not get pregnant without having a perfect embryo because they can make it perfect. Now, the practice is illegal. And it's illegal because they consider it to be unethical. It's unethical for many reasons, morally or religiously. Because there are people who believe the only people who should interfere in that kind of thing, in the DNA of life, is God. If you don't believe in God, there are people who just believe that you shouldn't interfere anyway because it's just wrong and it's unethical. But here's the question, and I said this at the start of the show. If I said to every young couple out there and every young woman planning to conceive a baby, before you go to bed with your husband tonight and have sex to conceive a child, I'm going to give you a tablet. And trusting that the tablet is safe, I give you a tablet and your baby will be born perfectly healthy. No disabilities, no lifelong problems. Your baby will be perfectly healthy. No genetic imperfections. Would you take it? I would be surprised if anybody said no. I would be absolutely astonished if anyone said no, because I would if I was a woman, because ultimately, isn't that what everybody wants? Or are there people who say, well, no, you just deal with the hand that God gives you. And sure, you know, every child is precious. And I understand that sentiment. But is that really true? And is it really unethical to want your baby to be perfectly healthy? Is that unethical? Because that's essentially what CRISPR does, or what CRISPR can do. Now, the individuals involved in developing CRISPR ended up in jail because they were using it for malpractice. But that's a whole different argument. It's a whole complicated story. But I want to know what you think. It does raise the question, is it unethical? I mean, if you could have an infallible way to ensure that you could have a perfect baby, no disabilities, no imperfections, and even choose characteristics of the baby, would you do it? Or do you think it should be left in the hands of nature if you don't believe in God, or in the hands of God if you do believe in God? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Let me go to Steve, if I can, first. Steve, hi, how are you?
You know what, Niall, of all the years that you've been on radio, I'd never thought you'd come up with a topic like this one. It's rather an interesting topic, which poses so many different questions. But I suppose the crux of it is, you're going to have a lot of religious people either texting in or calling in this evening saying, you know, we shouldn't interfere in God's work, which is an absolutely outrageous statement to make, because if we leave it up to God, you know, your kids can be born with Down syndrome, Turner syndrome, Klinefelter syndrome, Edwards syndrome. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
And to be fair, they will argue that every child is precious and that is the hand that God deals you.
Hold on a second. Now, nobody wants an unhealthy child. And I've heard on your show before, you know, parents with children with disabilities who have said lines along, I'd never change them. I'm sorry, you wouldn't change them. You were born with a disability and you wouldn't change them because you like who they are now. You wouldn't afford them a normal life if you could give them a magical pill to make them normal.
They'll take issue with the word
they're
normal.
They're going to get annoyed. It's normal, absolutely. But there is a normal. There is a normal, Niall. Now, there's none of us perfect. We all have some sort of disorder. Men, you know, have male pattern baldness, and we can actually eradicate that. We can eradicate asthma. We can eradicate spine disorder.
They're talking about that they can eradicate a lot of cancers because a lot of cancers are hereditary.
Absolutely. And also, Niall, you know, there is psychological disorders which people can be prone to as well. You know, and if you could remove all of this to have a completely healthy race, who the hell wouldn't want that?
But isn't that what Hitler was looking for? He was looking for, as they called it, the Aryan race, which was this perfect human being.
No, Niall, because here's the thing. Once you start getting into designer babies, blue eyes, blonde hair...
But isn't that what it'll lead to? You know, well, I'm not happy that they're just healthy. I want them to be, you know, to grow up to be 6 foot two. I want them to grow up to have blonde hair, to be muscular, to be academic, to have blue eyes. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So my entire argument revolves around a perfectly healthy person with no proclivities to either psychological disorders or physical disorders, Niall. That's going to be my entire argument. Hitler, he didn't want black people. Hitler, he didn't want gay people. Hitler, you know, Hitler didn't want an awful lot of things. I don't mind what color your skin is, what gender you are, you know, which way did you swing. I don't care as long as you're perfectly healthy. Now, again, I say that there are parents out there with, say, kids with Down syndrome who absolutely adore their kids, and so they should, and they're going to love their children. But if they come on air tonight and say to me, Steve, I wouldn't change them because I love them for who they are, I'm sorry, but you're a selfish arsehole. Because if you could had the power to change your child to give them,
those parents who will say that to you, they're not lying. They do love their children for who they are.
Absolutely.
Because they can't change that, okay? So they do love their children for who they are.
That's the point. And this is all a hypothetical, Niall. Remember, it's a hypothetical.
But here's the argument, right?
On the basis of...
The argument is, if you don't have people born with disability, right? And I remember having a guy on the air talking about something similar to this many, many years ago.
Imagine the money we'd save.
Well, forget about the money for the moment. He has a disability. And he said to me, if it was a situation where we could eradicate disabilities, he says, that makes me less valuable in this world. And I understood the point he made, as selfish as it may be. I understood the point he made, that it makes him less valuable in this world because he becomes more of an anomaly because he's disabled. So this idea of a perfect race or the perfect
but
human
that's
race.
True, Niall. But that's true. People, I mean, when you have a child with a severe disability, you know, that child will be, of course, loved and adored by its family, and rightly so. But societally, you know, it'll never produce anything for society, or it will never, be productive.
Well, that's only because of the way society's been set up.
So, of course, yeah. Which is
unfortunately, society can't be set up, you know, for everybody to achieve, and I'm well aware of that because that would be too difficult. And I get that.
I want you to picture this world, just for an ideal world for a second, Niall, where what's the use of a hospital in this world for only accidents? Outside of that, all genetic disorders have been eradicated. There will be less children suffering. There's children suffering, which would be needless.
No, I know. The idea of a child 3 years of age who has never done anything wrong in this world having leukemia is dreadful.
Exactly.
And I understand all of that. But again, I say to you, Steve, people will say to you, that's life. That's the hand we've been dealt.
It's not life.
That's nature.
No, it's not.
That's what God's will is. And these are the arguments that will come up. And that's why this is considered by the EU and by the world generally to be unethical.
Niall, those same morons, when their child gets sick, runs to a doctor and gets an antibiotic. That's science. That's not nature, Niall. You know, science stepped in a long time ago, hence the reason why we're all living a lot longer than we are now. So if they want to complain about science and say, leave it in God's hands, well, I'm sorry, stop taking all the medication. You know, if your child gets sick, don't go. No, I'm not promoting that whatsoever, but you know what I'm saying. You know, we put our lives in science hands every goddamn day, Niall. We do that. And anybody who says otherwise are just being selfish. Because if there is a God, you know, none of I've read the vast majority of the religious texts out there, Niall. I don't believe in any one of their gods. I do believe there's something. But, I mean, if there is a God, why the hell would you not want to step in where he left off and make
things better? Because it's considered to be unethical. That's why.
Where's the...
Okay, let me go to Danielle. Hang on, let me go to Danielle. Danielle, hi, how are you doing?
Hi, Niall, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
It's a complicated, complex and sensitive topic in a sense that I know, you know, there are people who are dealing with disabilities or have loved ones who have disabilities. And the idea that you could have a world, because it's already possible, scientifically, to have a world without people born with disabilities because you can interfere, you know, with genetic engineering, into chromosomes and DNA and everything else, and sperm and eggs and embryos and all the way. I don't know how exactly they do it. But do you think there's anything wrong with that, interfering?
There isn't. I'm kind of with Steve on some points. Why wouldn't you want your child to be healthy?
Well, of course you would, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Of course, absolutely. But this
because
is
if you, when you say to a woman, you know, are you having a boy or a girl? They go, the first answer is always, I don't care as long as it's healthy. That's what they always say, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? And that's what every parent wants.
Mm-hmm.
But is a stepping over a line doing that, trying to play with nature, so to speak?
We play with nature all the time. We play with it all the time, every day. Every hospital.
True, Steve. Yeah, that's very true. I mean, they've come so far, like, the people are living longer and everything. And I've not taken away from a child's disability, but you want the best for your child. You want them to have a normal life, inverted commas. You don't want to see your child sick, not being able to do things for themselves or look after themselves.
But the danger is, if you allow it, and this is the problem, and this is why, obviously, people ended up in jail because of it. If you allow it, well, then you start getting into designer babies, and Steve mentioned this already. So,
exactly.
Because if you can interfere and meddle, so to speak, with genetic engineering, you know, you can literally design a child.
Literally have blonde hair, blue eyes, purple hair, whatever.
I don't know why everyone goes for blonde hair and blue eyes, by the way. I don't know what that's all
anyway,
about.
Anyway, it's just the same, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but it's not right having a designer baby either.
Mm-hmm.
You see why I'm torn?
Yeah, no,
so
no,
I am.
But
in fairness, though, Niall, when it comes to designer babies, you know, in fairness, As I said from the very start of this, you know, I only agree with the health aspect of it. Once you start getting into designer babies, you know, then it's babies on demand and it becomes a product. This shouldn't be a product. This should be about health and having a species of people who are, yes, okay, genetically modified, where all of the bad stuff is bred out of us. So we can be normal. I can't imagine having a child with disabilities. I can't. How much heartache must be for the parent, and how much pain and torment that must be for the child as well.
What about the original story that I mentioned at the start of the show and where this kind of debate came from, which was this woman who paid $71,000, she won a competition, to have her dog cloned.
Now, a dog.
Yeah. So the cloning is not illegal for animals in South Korea and Texas, I believe, surprisingly enough. Mm-hmm. That you can actually clone. So basically the way it is, you take a sample of the skin of the animal and you send it to them in South Korea and they produce an exact replica of your dog.
But that's a bit stupid, isn't it? I mean,
well it does seem like a severe waste of money, to be honest with you. Yeah, it does seem like
she's too much money and not enough sense. That's wrong.
But do you think that's unethical? Is that unethical?
No, I mean, cloning shouldn't be unethical. I mean, if you want to clone another version of yourself, well, okay, where's the ethical problem, Niall? Because you're going to say to me, it's unethical. Show me the ethical problem. Go for it.
I don't know. I just feel uncomfortable with the idea of it.
So, exactly. So you're uncomfortable, but you want to say that it's unethical. If people wanted to just argue the ethics of this, let them come up and argue the ethics, but I can guarantee you won't find anybody that will be able to do it.
Okay, let me just go to Joe as well. Joe, say there, Daniel. Joe, hi, how are you?
I'm not too bad, Niall. Good evening. How are you doing?
Good. Joe, do you agree in any shape or form with genetic engineering, with modifying, you know, embryos or whatever it is?
It's a very tough question, Niall. I probably wouldn't, Niall, to be fair, like, you know. I would have reservations about it, but I do understand what Steve and what's that other lady?
Danielle, sorry.
Yeah, my apologies. I do understand where they're coming from, but of course, unfortunately, there's no such thing as a perfect world, or there's no such thing as a perfect baby, because, you know...
Well, there could be. There could be.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Isn't that the point of the debate? Mm. There could be the perfect baby if it was allowed and it wasn't unethical. There could be the perfect baby.
Yeah. But look, you look over the last number of years, the amount of damage that has been done in this country regarding children, and not just in the last couple of years, in the last 50, 60 years, going back to...
But that's the way we treat children. That's different. You know, after they're born, we can't be held responsible for the way people treat children. And I understand the point you're making. But the one thing that we scientifically could do, if we wanted to, probably right now, is genetic engineering, which is essentially have babies born, you know, perfectly healthy.
Yeah, and you know something? If it was to be done properly, I would have no problem with it. But I would, I'm just saying about in this country, Niall, would you trust the authorities in this country to do anything right?
I wouldn't trust the authorities in this country to walk my dog. But
that's what I'm saying. Now, if it was someone with a brain, if it was somebody who had a brain, I'm just talking about somebody not in this country now, but say in America or some country.
Well, are you saying, Joe, you would agree with it if it was heavily regulated?
If it was heavily regulated, I would say yes. And I'm not going to be a hypocrite and go divisive about it. If it was done properly, yes. But if it was done in a shambolic way, I would have reservations about it. Because I just going back to what I said, in this country, Niall, I don't trust anyone in authority anymore.
You see, I mean, because here's the problem, Joe. And I want to say this to Steve if I can. Sorry, Joe. Thank you, Joe. Here's the problem, Steve. Once you go down this road, and I'm not talking about the sky falling in, right? But, you know, what's next? And we've seen with every single thing that we do, there's always what's the next step?
Of course there is,
right? So all of a sudden, because you mentioned something earlier on about, you know, black people, gay people, whatever, we'll start deciding what skin colour we want the baby. We'll start deciding maybe there's a gay gene. We don't want the baby to be gay. Mm-hmm. We'll start deciding, you know, so we'll start looking for all those things because some people said there is a gay gene, other people deny there's a gay gene. Right? But the point I'm making is, What's to stop all that happening in the future if you go down this road?
Okay. Okay. So, Niall, you know, the word that keeps coming up this evening is ethical. You know, let's understand what ethical right that we not rights, but let's look at the ethics of this situation. You know, we have an ethical responsibility, you know, as forward-thinking people, to be able to give the best health prospects for our children to come into this world. That's the ethical thing to do. The unethical thing to do is to scientifically stand by and allow God to take over and do a bad job, because that's what's happening.
Well, hang on. Stay there for a second. I want to go to Jerry. Jerry, hi. How are you?
Hey, Steve. Niall.
Yeah.
Is Steve from a different planet than everybody else?
In what sense?
I mean, I think Hitler's been reincarnated in him. Because, I mean, what he's saying there, what he's saying there, Niall, first of all, it's already happening. It's happening in the sense now where when pregnant women go into any of the maternity hospitals, they get a test done, and if the child has Down syndrome or any physical defects or mental defects, they can opt for an abortion. That's how they're getting rid of the children at the moment.
I know that does happen, and statistically, by the way, in the United Kingdom, before we even had the referendum, those statistics were available that women were choosing, many women, not all, choosing to terminate pregnancies.
It's happening in Northern.
Yeah.
It's happening in Northern Ireland.
It is.
But that's
not
my... But 95%
less Down syndrome children are being born since the introduction of abortion.
Yeah, that's right.
Excuse me, Steve. I have special needs children. And okay. one of my special needs children died in my arms at 17 months. I would not regret that for one single second. I had to chew feed him. I had to give him oxygen. And unfortunately, there was a mistake by a hospital. I'm not going to mention the hospital name. And they didn't catch the child in time. He was conscious of pneumonia, and he got pneumonia. They misdiagnosed
him. How old was he, Jerry? I'm sorry to hear that.
He was 17 months.
Right.
17 months. Now, I gave that child, including my wife as well. Now, people say the men don't have extended instincts. I certainly do, and along with a lot of other men. I noticed that child, he got sick after he was 8 months old. I now have a special needs child now. She's 32. And she's in a local club. She would be classed as, she has a syndrome, but they've never diagnosed it. But you'd have the mentality of just say a 6-year-old, right? My point being, I often say to people, and the same with Down syndrome children and other children, if the world was made of all these people, it'd be a much better place. These are the happiest children you could ever meet, ever.
That's a stupid argument. I know.
Hang on. Please do. Let's both, everybody, try and keep the conversation respectful, right?
I will, absolutely. But Niall,
my condolences to you again, Jerry. Sorry, the loss of your child.
Niall.
Yeah.
Niall, to suggest that if the entire world was Down syndrome, it would be a better world is a ridiculous notion.
Jerry is basing that on his experience having a child that has a disability.
Let me finish what I was going to say. Yeah. I understand where Jerry is coming from. And I am not saying that we should go around euthanizing people if they're born with disabilities. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is prepare for a future where these children are born healthy instead of having a disability. Where's the confusion in that, Jerry? I'm not running you or your children down. I don't know why you're getting offended at what I have said. Because what I'm saying is to prevent another child ending up in the situation your children ended up in, to do this genetic modification. What's so wrong about that?
Okay.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that, Steve, is that I wouldn't have me two children that I had now.
Can I ask you a question, Jerry? And please don't think I'm being insensitive, and I don't want you to.
Of course.
Okay. Would it not have been better if your children were born without a disability? That's the point Steve is making. I think he's putting it just badly. Would it not have been?
I did not put that badly whatsoever.
Okay, Jerry, that's the argument being made when they talk about the ethics of, you know, CRISPR or any of these kind of genetic modification systems. That you can eradicate, you know, problems at birth. You can eradicate hereditary diseases. You can eradicate possibly some cancers too. That people will not be born, you know, with genetic problems. Would that be a better world if people weren't born like that? in the first place. No, I'm not saying those people who are living in the world now are not valuable. Of course they are. That's not what I'm saying.
But I'm saying my own daughters, for example, now, right? I have 17 grandchildren, another one on the way, please God. But my own daughters have gone to the maternity hospital, and one just recently, she's due next year, hopefully in April, right? They've been asked, and they've got the test done, and they won't get the test done, because they don't want to know if the child has any disabilities. What happens will happen. And whether it's nature or whether it's God, is their decision. It doesn't matter whether it's God or it's nature. I believe in God myself.
Okay.
That's so selfish.
Well, if you see my two children,
I have kids, and thank Jesus, my child was born, and he's perfectly healthy. I'm very grateful for that. Trust me, every day I'm grateful for that. But Jerry, what I'll ask you is, I'll put the question a different way to you, if you don't mind. With your two children that you had with disabilities, if you could literally wave a magic wand, and they would become, for the want of a better word, normal, and have a productive life and not be ill, or, you know, be able to get married or have children, you know, to do all of these things, would you not want that for them? Would you not wave that magic wand?
I'll tell you something, Steve. Like, as I say, people don't understand this. A parent's love is unconditional, okay?
Absolutely.
I would not. No, but I know that. But the two children were already born. Now, specifically...
No. Jerry, I'm interested, and I don't want to push you with the answer. I just have to go to a break, right? I don't want to come across as insensitive either, but if you could wave a magic wand tomorrow or click your fingers, is Steve right in what he's saying? Like, parents who have children with, say, a disability, a profound disability or whatever it is, that it impedes their life. There's no doubt it impedes, you know, their life and their opportunities in life. If you could click your fingers and they would go to just being like every other child and have get married and drive a car and, you know, have children, would you want that for them?
Well, I think you were specifically talking about the two children I had. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Okay. No. Okay. Well, hang on. I have to go to a break. Steve, stay there with me. Jerry, stay with me. I need to come to Rose and Aisling after the break as well. All right. Just some of your texts coming in. Insensitive bleep, bleep, bleep. I'm assuming they're talking about Steve, or they are talking about Steve. Cannot believe he just said that. On his own son is healthy. Be careful, Steve. You don't know what can happen. For instance, your son could get meningitis, be left deaf, lose a limb. Are you going to give him away then, Steve? To be fair to Steve. Oh, I lost my headphones there for a second. I lost all my sound. Sorry about that. I do apologise. To be fair to Steve, I don't think that's what he meant. You know, and I think it's a bit unfair on Steve to suggest that. Jerry, are you still there?
I'm still here now. Can I just say one thing about how we fought for this child? When the baby was 8 months old, he developed serious problems with his breathing and that. Now, from medical misadventure, I'm not going to mention any hospital or anything like that.
Yeah, okay.
This child was put in an induced coma. Oh, he was dying, okay?
Yeah.
He was literally dying. He was in an induced coma. He was on tubes all over the place. I did everything and prayed everything for this child to come back. But anyway, I found this healing priest, and he came up to the hospital. He put his hands over, and his hands were shaking. I remember I was sitting beside the child because I held his hand. He was only 8 months old at the time. And the nurses went into shock because this priest's hands half vibrate. He said to me, "Don't worry, you're going to bring your child home."
Yeah.
I rang my wife and said it to her, and she said, "What are you on about? Is he better?" And I said, "No." She didn't believe me, but I believed. I brought him home. And I fought for his life for the next...
And Jerry, I don't doubt that for a minute. You sound like a really good father. And I don't doubt that for a minute. Now, as much as Steve can be quite harsh in the way he speaks sometimes, and I'm well aware of that as a caller, he's been on the show many times.
But hang on.
I do understand the point he's making. Now, we can argue and debate, and we're all entitled to have a debate as to whether we believe these kind of processes of genetic engineering is unethical. And that's the debate tonight, whether it's unethical. And I don't think, you know, to the texter who texted about Steve's son, I mean, I think you're being equally insensitive by suggesting Steve's son could go deaf from meningitis, lose a limb.
Hopefully not.
No, I certainly hope not. But that's something Steve would have to deal with if the time came. And I don't believe for a minute Steve would love his son any less if anything like that happened to him.
Can I jump in? So, firstly, what I'd like to say is I don't believe that I have been insensitive. What I'm doing is just speaking my opinion. I'm not trying to hurt anybody.
And as I said, every child is valuable. Of course they are. I'm not talking about kids who are already born with disabilities. I've made that very, very clear. But one thing that I want to pick Jerry up on was, Jerry, you said that you wouldn't change them for the world. I understand that. I completely get they are your children. You look at them, you love them, and you adore them. But that's from your selfish point of view. And what I mean by
that... You're selfish.
Bear with me. Please, trust me. It's gone somewhere. That's you knowing them as that person. But you know yourself, with Down syndrome, it comes with heart defects, thyroid disorders, sleep apnea, low muscle tone. There's a list of things that comes along with that. That are just
I don't want to focus just on Down syndrome, but many other medical issues.
Absolutely, but the point is, Niall, with such a low life expectancy, how could you not want to change that?
Everybody would want a child to be healthy, Steve. Everybody in this world, whatever they do, and me too. But I don't play God and don't play with nature. If you understand all these children, and I say, like, all these children, and in my own particular case, and I know a lot of, I was involved with a lot of parents because we're in special needs groups throughout my younger days and all that. These children give so much love, and they've touched so many people.
Absolutely.
To this day, you know, I lost my child in 1999. To this day, they still talk about my little boy. To this day, because what some people said to me, when they looked in his eyes, they seen God. Because the love just came straight out. And that's the same as most. And as I said, I'm not going to concentrate on Down syndrome, because there's just lots of other disabilities out there. A lot worse than Down syndrome, by the way.
Mm.
That their children have no hope. This is fibrosis and other. I've been around all these children all my life. And they would. Most parents wouldn't change the world. You don't. Unethical.
Well, when you keep saying that to me, I'm finding that, even along with Steve, hard to understand. When you say that a parent has a child that has a profound disability, let's not focus on one in particular, that would be life limiting, for example, right? And would have a short lifespan and is riddled with all sorts of heart defects and problems throughout their life. And you're saying a parent wouldn't change that for the world. I find that difficult to understand from an ethical point of view, how we could say something like that. That if I said to that parent, I can give you this pill, and that pill would make your child have the same outcomes and same success, right? Success, get married, drive cars, and be just like every other person in this world, would you give the pill to the child? I'm finding it difficult to understand why somebody would say no. Now, work with me, Jerry, on that.
The reason why you say no, because there's no guarantee, Niall, as you said.
No, I'm asking you a hypothetical question. No, I'm asking you a hypothetical question. If it was a guarantee.
Well, as I say, no, I don't believe in guarantees in life.
Well, then why do parents with children with life-limiting conditions go online on GoFundMe and raise thousands and thousands to go to a special doctor in America who thinks he might be able to cure the disability or the problem they have? Why do they do that if they're happy with the way they are?
And Niall, that's a fantastic point.
I'm just curious. Sorry.
You always talk about statistics, Niall. That's in a very small minority.
Oh, I know that.
That would be, but I'm talking about the majority of your children, Niall. Like, if you were around the people I'm around, my child
And again, Jerry, nobody's doubting, you know, the people with disabilities. They're wonderful people. Nobody's suggesting they're not. But I think what Steve is just trying to say is, would it be better if they didn't have a disability?
Of course it would. And when Jerry turns around and says...
I think that's the question he's asking, isn't it?
Jerry, when you turn around and you say you don't want to play the part of God and science shouldn't play the part of God, right? I understand that. But at the end of the day, we play the part of God in hospitals across this country all the time. I'm sure you've done it with your own kids when they get sick. You bring them in and science steps in. So we're already doing that.
Okay, well, speaking of already doing that, I just want to go to Aisling. Stay there, Jerry, please, and Steve. Aisling, okay. Hi, how are you doing? Getting back to the original question,
hi,
Aisling.
Hi.
You know, is it right for us to interfere ethically?
Yes, I think it is. It's done all the time in IVF. It's offered to women routinely.
Mm-hmm. But they choose healthy eggs.
Yes,
it's not like CRISPR is illegal, by the way. It's not going deep into the egg and checking the DNA strands, but it will check the egg to make sure, you know, we mentioned some disabilities earlier on there that would be considered to be hereditary.
It's not a modification.
Yeah, it's not a modification. What they do is they just use healthy eggs and don't use the other ones. Yeah.
Well, they reduce the risk of passing on inherited conditions.
Yes.
The pre-implantation genetic diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we kind of do it in that sense, don't we?
Yeah, we do it already.
But do you believe that we should go a step further and genetically modify eggs, whereby we can eradicate all disabilities, all hereditary diseases? Now, people will still pick up diseases, by the way, because there's viruses and there's bacteria. People will still have accidents and lose limbs throughout their lives.
Well, I've come across IVF where you can choose the sex of the baby, so I kind of think that's going a bit too far.
Is it?
Yeah, in some countries you can choose the sex of the baby.
Mm. Yeah.
Like in Cyprus.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you can. Is that going too far?
Yes, definitely.
Why is it going too far?
Well, because you have to kind of let nature take its course, I think, and just encourage these things to happen for the woman. You know, if they're not getting pregnant naturally, if they're able to get pregnant through IVF, then, yeah, giving a little push in the right direction. But if we were to do that, like, we would be making the perfect baby, perfect race, perfect people that lived on certain continents or whatever. And we'd probably be back to Hitler before we know what we were doing.
Everybody brings this argument back to Hitler and the Aryan race, of course. Yeah, I mean,
could you say something, Niall?
Yeah.
Okay, you have a physically healthy baby because of this magic pill. Okay.
Yeah.
Who'd you say that physically healthy baby is not going to be an absolute psychopath? A psychopath?
Oh, absolutely.
That's a lame argument, Niall. No, that's not a real argument.
No, it's not. The difference between disability and mentally ill.
For the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, if not billions or trillions of babies who will be born healthy, you want to dispose of all of that because one child might be born an arsehole?
No, what I'm
sorry,
saying,
but that's a lame argument.
You're talking about physical health. There's a lot of mental health. You don't know whether that choice. This is where you interfere with nature.
Absolutely. But by the way, normally in relation to children being psychopathic or children being serial killers or children being dictators or whatever it is, that's not nature. That's nurture, generally speaking.
You're going to guarantee that with that pill, Niall.
No, but what? No.
And some psychological disorders. Some people have the proclivity towards psychological disorders as well. It can run in the family, which
it can be genetic. So, yeah,
exactly. So you can eliminate those things as well. You know, this. I really don't see, Jerry, how this is a bad thing. You've yet to describe to me, or anybody has yet to describe to me, how ethically wrong.
Well, let Aisling describe. So, Aisling, going back to originally what I talked about, which was genetic engineering, which is illegal, by the way. It's considered to be unethical. The people actually developed it end up in jail. So why is it, Steve is looking for an answer as to why it would be wrong to have people being born with no disabilities perfectly healthy. Why is that wrong?
Well, it would be, in an ideal world, theoretically, it would be to have everybody born perfect. But it takes all kinds to make a world. We can't just have these perfect people across the board.
That's not going to remove their personalities. But people will always be imperfect. Colors, gender, sexes.
I think people will always be imperfect. They'll always be imperfect people because that is to do with nurture as well rather than just nature.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that every baby is born innocent and, you know, every baby would be born, you know, perfectly healthy doesn't mean that the world would be perfect because people will still turn out to be, as Steve said earlier on, assholes. You know what I mean? So there are people who are going to turn out to be bad people.
And removing the bad... But removing the health issues isn't going to make the world a less boring place. We'll still have a plethora of different types of people in the world. We're just removing something that is awful. This is a terrible thing to have a child with some sort of disability or sickness. I mean, there's parents across this planet who are screaming up to a God that may or may not exist for some sort of cure, you know. And if we can prevent that, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? That would be real magic.
Would it be a wonderful thing if we could prevent it, Aisling?
It would, but then we'd have a very alike world where most people would be the same.
Well, not necessarily. Yeah. People will still get diseases throughout their lives. People will still have accidents. You know, people will still need the services of doctors and hospitals from a physical point of view. From a mental point of view, we can't decide how people turn out. But from a physical point of view, we're still going to, you know, need all those things or have all those things. And we'll still have people with disabilities because people will still have accidents. People will still be in car crashes. fall, whatever, hurt themselves.
And if science can fix those people from the crashes, Niall, like they are by giving them limbs, like they can walk again. I mean, I've seen ones where people, you know, are completely paraplegic who can now stand with the aid of technology.
Exoskeletons. I've seen them, yeah.
Exoskeletons. So you have Neuralink now, which was with Elon Musk, which is implanting chips in people's brains who can now move things on computer screens.
Now, I'm getting very uncomfortable now. You know what I mean? Because now we're talking about inserting something in your brain.
Oh, hold on a second, Niall. Mm. Like, you go talk to the guy who had one of these Neuralinks implanted into his brain, who was complete paraplegic and could not even communicate with the world. Now you can have a conversation with this man. Now he can control things in his house and have some form of life, whereas he had nothing before. That technology is amazing when it's used for the right reason.
And here's the thing, when it's used for the right reason. And that's where this all comes down to. Will it end up being used for the wrong reason? Let me go to Rose as well. Rose, hi, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, Rose. Rose, what would you like to say?
Pardon?
What would you like to say?
I'm actually a mother of a 21-year-old disabled person, my daughter, Patricia O'Connor.
Yeah.
I found out I was expecting her when I was like 4 months pregnant, and I went for my first scan. I had my two other children with me, you know, it was unexpected. And the pregnancy, and to find out. And I went to the hospital. I'm a bit nervous now speaking about it, to be honest with you. But I got told that my first scan, my daughter was not going to live.
Okay.
They advised me to go way over to Germany or whatever and have an abortion.
Okay.
I said, no, I says, I'll take my chances. I'll have my baby. They said, well, if she don't die in the womb, it'd be... when she comes out, she'd be dead, basically.
Okay.
That, she got christened straight away the minute I gave birth to her. She's still here 21 years on.
Yeah, doctors get it wrong. The doctors get it wrong sometimes.
They
yeah.
got it wrong. No, she's spina bifida.
Mm-hmm.
She was shunt and sorted in her brain. She's fabulous, like with computers, reading, writing. Everything was going for her until we moved into this house that we're in. No, she has disabilities, right? She's blind also. But since we moved into this house, she's getting more and more disabilities because the house we're in is not adapted for her needs.
Okay, but will you?
Today I got this house. It's like...
And when did you get that house?
10 years ago.
Okay.
When she was 9.
Okay. Well, that's an argument you need to take up with the council, because they should be supplying you with a house that's adapted for her needs.
Blue in the face.
Okay.
Blue in the face. Well, here's
the question, can I ask you, Rosie? And I'm delighted that she's happy, and I'm delighted that, you know, the doctors got it wrong on this occasion, and she was born. You say she has spina bifida and she's blind and she has a shunt in her brain. So she has a myriad of issues, sadly.
But she can't do nothing for herself.
No. Okay.
In the last 10 years.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If the question Steve asked earlier on, if you could wave a magic wand and she wasn't born with all those disabilities, would you?
Well, no, she is who she is. She's a character.
No, that's not an answer to the question. That's not really an answer to the question. I'm sure she's the most wonderful human being in the world. I have no doubt about that for a minute. And even asking you this question makes me feel uncomfortable because I don't want to come across as being insensitive. But the point that Steve is making is that if you could wave a wand tomorrow and she wouldn't have all those disabilities and she would be getting married and she'd be driving a car and she'd have a productive job and she'd be going out with you, you know, on a night out and all of those things, would you prefer that for her?
Well, in my seat, we all have different... situations. We all have different households, and like the way we're living here now for the last 10 years, my daughter would be out in college. She left school at 13 because the services in this country.
Okay, but she'd be in college now if she didn't have all the disabilities she has. She'd be in college now. Yeah.
Oh, she'd be in college. She wants to work on radio stations.
Okay,
she mixes her own music and everything.
Okay, but you're still not answering my question.
If I had a magic wand, would I change her disabilities?
if you had a magic wand tomorrow and you could remove all of those disabilities, and I hate to say this because I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, and I don't want to come across as being insensitive, because I value, just like you, everybody in this world. But if you could wave a wand tomorrow, as Steve said, and all those disabilities would disappear and she would have the same opportunities as everybody else, would you wave it?
I put a wet room inside my house for her.
That's not what I'm asking.
I put a wet room inside the house for her. That's what I do with a magic wand. All her, everything that she needs in her home is not there for her. This is what I'm saying. She has a disability, but she's being left there to
Niall,
get more disabilities.
Interject.
You can, Steve, as long as, yeah.
Okay, I think I've been extremely respectful tonight. I really do, and I'll continue to be that way. Rose, I think you're missing the point completely.
See,
of what Niall was saying.
You're very good at what you're saying. Like, I was kind of tearing up there at things that was being said there.
It was my hypothetical question. So I know you're saying that you would put, if you had a magic wand, you would wave that magic wand and give her a bathroom and all the stuff that she needs. But here's the thing. Would you not wave that wand and remove all of her disabilities so she's completely like yourself? So she has a healthy, average life. Would you not do that for her?
I haven't even got a life myself, like, for the way we are.
I know that. Would you not remove all of her? If you could remove all her disabilities and give her a good life, would you do that?
I'm sure she
has. My name is God, yeah.
There you go. So, exactly. Mm. And this is the entire argument, and I respect you for that. Thanks very much. And I would like to...
And by the way, that doesn't devalue Patricia, by the way.
No,
you know.
Of course it doesn't. For Christ's sake, any child who was...
No, on the radio.
Any child who was born with a disability, Niall, I know plenty of people with disabilities. For Christ's sake, I was born with a disability myself. When you said spina bifida, I was born with a mild form of spina bifida. It's called spina bifida occulta, which then transpired. I ended up getting Arnold Chiari malformation, which is a brain disorder related to the spina bifida occulta. I wish I was born without that. Now, it doesn't impact my life a huge amount, but I mean, I wish I was healthy enough that I could do other things.
That's like Trisha now with me, ma'am. She'd be there, I hate my life. She goes, this shit, like, you know what I mean? I know what she's going through. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm her mum, I'm watching her every day. It's like,
Steve, if that pill hadn't been around...
Well, hang on, sorry, Jerry. Yeah, go ahead, Jerry.
If that pill hadn't been around before Steve was born, he wouldn't be here today talking on your radio.
Sorry? Say that again?
If that pill was available...
Hypothetical pill, he's the way... Engineering,
yeah.
Steve wouldn't be here today.
Why?
Talking on the radio.
Why?
Why wouldn't he?
Because he had that condition, the spina bifida thing.
Well, he would. He just wouldn't have the condition, which, as far as I know, Chiari malformation causes massive migraines. I know somebody who had it. It's very rare.
No, but what I'm saying, though, no, he wouldn't be here. Because there's no guarantee with Steve. Because there's no guarantees with Steve we're talking to now. It could be a different memory.
I understand your point.
And you would not be here.
But we wouldn't. That's kind of hypothetical. We wouldn't know that because it wouldn't have happened, if you know what I mean. It's like when people say to me, like, if abortion had been around in 1963 when I was born, because I ended up in an orphanage for a year or over a year, that I wouldn't be here today because my mother would have just terminated the pregnancy. Yeah. But nobody would know of my existence, so it wouldn't have really mattered. So anyway, stay there for a second.
This is a better point. Even if I did get that pill back then, maybe I could be on a yacht. Maybe I'd be dead in an accident in a car. We don't know, but it could have been good or bad either way.
Yeah. Sorry, Caroline. Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Niall. Thanks. How are you?
Good. Caroline, it's a difficult question, and I understand why everybody gets a little bit weird about the whole thing, but, you know, the idea of genetic engineering... Is it really unethical, or is it a good thing?
I think it's very unethical, and I would not think it's a good thing at all, because who's going to make the decisions at the end of the day? In a perfect world, sure, if everybody was equal and everybody had the same values and everybody had the same wants and aspirations, fine, but that isn't reality. So what you do then is, who is going to decide which embryos are the ones to keep, which embryos are perfect, and what is the perfection they're looking for? Is it the fastest 100-meter runner? Is it the most intelligent child in the class? Is it the best doctor? You know, I mean, where does it begin and where does it end? It's not something that you can say that you would be able to control fairly, because, again, those that are in charge couldn't be trusted to do it fairly. They would want their own goals, and their own opinions would be forming as to who was surviving.
And the other thing I'm just thinking about too, Steve, I take Caroline's point on board, is money. So will only the rich be able to afford to have healthy babies and the rest of us just have to take the crumbs? Is that the way it would work? Because realistically, that's probably what would happen.
Okay. Hold on a second. Look, number one, we haven't really discussed the finances behind this, but if that's where you want to go, if you, Niall Boylan, was a multimillionaire and he was in his 20s, you're only a young man, and this pill is available for you, for your wife to take before she gets pregnant, that you'll have the perfect child. Because we're not talking about selecting certain eggs.
But that's what CRISPR is. No. It was Jerry who brought in the idea of the pill, a hypothetical. That was just an easy way to explain it. We're talking about genetic engineering.
By the way,
this is not just selecting eggs, because that's what they do in IVF, right? This is not about selecting eggs. This is about going in microscopically to the egg and removing strands of DNA or fixing strands of DNA that may have problems, which can change the very makeup of the baby.
Absolutely. And this is my entire point. We're not selecting eggs. We're not saying this egg is better than the other. We're just taking an egg and we're modifying it so it will be perfect. So what I'll ask you, Niall, is if you were a multimillionaire and you could afford to have this procedure done to your wife and others couldn't, you would still have it done because you want the best for your child. Yes, it would be terribly unfortunate that there would be other kids born in the world with disabilities, but it just goes to prove...
Address what Caroline just said, just quickly before I go into the news. Can you address what Caroline said? You know, where does it start and where does it end? You know, I want an athletic child. I want a child who's going to be a solicitor and really intelligent. You know, I want that child to have extra brain power. I want that child to be 6'1".
DNA has nothing to do with the outcome of intelligence. Nothing. It has absolutely nothing to do with that.
I don't know about that. Maybe they'll figure in the future it has.
It has nothing. I just looked it up.
Sorry, Caroline, go ahead.
That's nonsense. Take it a step back. We have a thoroughbred industry worldwide, which is worth billions and millions, but you cannot breed a champion. If you could,
That kind of justifies Steve's argument then, isn't it? That intelligence is not in your DNA.
He's trying to make a champion with a pill. But how can it be, you know,
Hold on a second, Caroline. Hold on a second. I never said I want to make a champion with a pill. What I said is I want healthy kids. And I've said this 5 times. And I'll say it again the 6th time for you, because you obviously have selective hearing. And maybe you should, maybe that's a genetic problem you have.
And I'll tell you what the problem with you is, that you lack a certain amount of empathy. Because every person that came on who had a disabled child, just listen, let me finish this. Every person that came on who had a disabled child, the question was asked to them, if they could have a pill and make the child perfect, would they not take it? And when they declined to answer it, it was asked repeatedly, time and time again, until you finally cornered that last woman to get her to say it. God. So I listened to everything that was said, and I heard how many times you said it. So please don't be so condescending as to think that you are going to say what I heard.
Okay, just very quickly, because I have to go into news. Steve, I'll let you just respond to the things that Caroline said. Just very quickly. I've got 30 seconds.
There's a very good reason why I would repeatedly ask the question, is because we all already know the answer, but they refuse to do it because their feelings are hurt. You know that's the answer, and I know that's the answer.
Okay, but Caroline, just before I go into the news, I'm going way over time here. Can I just ask you a question? Yeah. Would the world be a better place? Forget about where we feel, you know, the sky is going to fall in or how far will it go. And I agree with you. And that's my concern with it, by the way. But would the world be a better place if children were born perfectly healthy?
Look, how can you answer that without being sandy ridiculous?
No. It's hypothetical.
Will you please
It's hypothetical, Carol.
Yeah. So then, well, if that's the case, then every sick child that's in ICU and on intensive care, why do they bother?
No. No, you're missing the point. I mean, children will get sick, unfortunately. That can happen. Children get sick, adults get sick, we all get diseases, we all fall off buildings, we all end up in car crashes or in an ICU. Hospitals will always be there too. And by the way, hospitals are playing God, if you really want to call playing God, because we interfere in nature to fix each other. Okay, but if you could ensure that every child that is born, if you could say to every pregnant mother, your child would be perfectly healthy. And I hear pregnant women say this to me all the time, when you say, is it a boy or a girl? They say, I don't care as long as it's healthy. So if you could make that happen, that every child would be perfectly healthy, that would have no inherent diseases or no, I don't know, illnesses or disabilities, do you think that would be a good thing or a bad thing?
I won't answer it. What I will do is I will answer it by saying, well, then why not make the pill that would take away poverty and would stop war and would stop everything else? Why stop there at disabilities? Why not make it a perfect world in every sense, if that's what you're going to do?
Okay, thank you, Caroline, for that. Okay, Steve, thank you, Jerry and Rose as well. I appreciate it.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.